This is the Voice of Truth. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. The Voice of Truth is another broadcast that we have. And maybe I get excited sometime, don't know which broadcast I'm on. But this is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old Trailblazer, riding out on old Dan again, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And I just praise the Lord for the opportunity to be back in you folks' home and coming here, another gospel message, another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message from God's Word. And we're bringing you a study now on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And before we get started, let me just give you my mailing address. We've gone on some news stations recently, and I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what station you're hearing us over. Would you do that? Would you sit down and write me and tell me? You may not agree with anything I say on this broadcast, but would you let me know you're listening? Let me know that you're hearing me, because I'm spending God's money, and I like to spend it properly. I not waste one nickel, one penny. As the message goes out, if nobody's listening to this station, I'll cancel the broadcast and go on to some other station. I have people love to have this broadcast now. So if you would do that, and then let me give you my email address. It's pastor@radiomissions.org. If you do that, I'll be glad to hear from you. And email me there at pastor@radiomissions. And our website is radiomissions.org. And there you can see much about the old Trailblazer, who I am. And also you can go there to sermonaudio.com. You can see a picture of the old Trailblazer. And but I make you this offer. If you send me a picture, a snapshot of your home, your family, your dog, your cat, I'll be glad to send you a picture of the old Trailblazer. But let's get back to our studies at this time. We're looking at the church there at Sardis. The old sad Sardis church, the old Sardis dead church. Some folks call it the dead church. But we're looking there and what the Lord was saying to this church. And it's just sad what all the Lord had. Said they were dead. Said nothing but no fruit on them. No hunger after the Lord. No feeding on Christ. And they were talking about their programs and their all of those things, but they had nothing fruitful. There was no fruit there. You know, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, you know what a new creature does? It bears fruit, doesn't it? If you go there to a pecan tree in the fall of the year and there's no pecans on it, something wrong. It's just a false tree. But if you go there in September and October here in the South, no pecan tree, the limb just a hanging down to the ground, full of fruit. Same way with other fruit up there in the Northwest where the apples grow and all of those things. But listen, in the second verse, Christ said unto this church, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. If they were dead, what were they to watch? What were they to strengthen? That are ready to die. They had only the outward shell. They had only their mechanical organization. That's exactly what Christ meant here. They had only formalism. And I find that much of that today in our Protestant churches. But Christ said, I'm not, excuse me, I'm not against your organization. You have an empty shell. Wake up. See your emptiness. I tell my folks, and I tell you at this time, wake up. Wake up. Many of you are on the road to hell and don't know it. Would you wake up? Would you search your heart? Would you ask the Lord to search your heart? The Scriptures tell us, make our calling and election sure. Or have you done that lately? I tell my folks here, folks put up with the old Trailblazer. Folks put up with the pastor here because they know I love them. But I tell them, I said, you go in the bathroom, especially in the morning when you ladies are fixing your face there and painting your face and putting on your makeup, painting your eyebrows, whatever you do. Open your eyes real wide and look in that mirror and say, am I saved? Do I know the Lord? And then you men, if you're like me, you have to shave every morning. If you don't, you look like a ragtag. And maybe you do anyhow. Maybe I know I do. But when you're standing there shaving, with lather all over your face, I use electric razor myself. I used to use a blade. But when you're looking in that mirror, say, am I saved? Am I saved? Am I ready to go out into eternity? I wish you'd do that, my friend. But listen, Christ said, I'm not against your organization. You just have an empty shell. And I want you to wake up and see that. Repent. Turn to me that I may fill that empty organization, because you're on the verge of turning from formalism to rationalism, and even that which you have is going to pass away if you don't wake up. A church that turns away from Christ to formalism is only an empty shell, like a coconut shell that floats up on the beach, and you break that thing open, there's nothing there. Nothing but husk, like in the fall of the year when we used to gather corn on the farm. My dad had a truck farm, and we would graze corn. We'd go out there and pick it and pull it and put it in the barn. A lot of times it wouldn't be nothing but a bunch of shucks, just a little old cob and some shucks, and it was just an empty shuck. But now, a church that turned away from Christ is just an empty shuck. They don't see their emptiness and turn to Christ. They will soon become so corrupt, so vile, so wicked, until the outward hull will decay and pass away. I would not fight any church on their methods or organization. I would not take issue with them. But the thing that grieves my heart is that the absence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our worship, in our daily conversation, in our living, in our activities of our church life. And I have a booklet here by Pastor Shelton entitled Christ, a Living Reality. The Reality of Christ. If you write me, I'll be glad to send it to you and ask for it by title, Christ, a Living Reality. And then I have another book by Pastor Shelton, The Sinner's Flight from Reality. Did you know that every sinner by nature flees from reality? They don't want to face reality. That's why folks drink and use drugs. They don't want to face reality. No, because they wake up to a cruel, empty world, so they go back into that shell. Oh, listen, my friend. He says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. Here's a solemn warning. If you don't remember, if you don't repent, listen now, if you don't watch, if you don't return to me, I will come as a thief in the night, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come. This church had drifted to the position of the world in its relation to the second coming of Christ. And Christ spoke to that church as he would speak to the world. I will come unto you as a thief in the night. The church had so drifted to the world, had so lost the presence of Christ, until they did not even think about his second coming. Now, do you know that's the state we're in today? Oh, I have some folks, I know folks who, well, the Lord's not coming back no more. We're living in the tribulation now. No, we're not, my friend. No, we're not. We're going to get to that for long. They had lost their faith in Christ. Thus, they had lost their hope. Even to them, the second coming of Christ was one of a terror and not a blessing. To the born-again believer, the second coming of Christ is a gracious blessing. To the one outside of Christ, it's only a terror. Let me say these words. The church's attitude towards the second coming of Christ is a revelation of the church's spiritual condition, according to 1 John 3. The attitude of the individual's heart towards the second coming of Christ is always a revelation of the soul's spiritual condition before Christ. Every born-again believer looks for the soon coming of his Lord. That is a fact you can't get away from, according to Hebrews 9:28. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In the fourth verse we read, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. In the midst of all of this formalistic church, there were a few who lived and walked before the Lord, and he commended them for it. He says, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Walking before God in white means that they were clothed with the righteousness of Christ. One day they had been awakened to their lost condition, according to Luke 19:10, and had taken their place as a lost sinner before Christ, realizing they had no righteousness, Romans 10, no merit of any kind, and Christ had clothed them with his own righteousness, according to 1 Corinthians 1:30, and they were accepted in him as worthy, Ephesians 1:6. He goes on in the fifth verse to say, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. The overcoming one is the born-again one, washed in the blood of Christ, indwelt by his Spirit. And he says, shall be clothed in white raiment. If you want to get a picture of what Christ means there, go read the 17th chapter of Matthew and see Christ transfigured that night on old Mount Hermon. The word transfigured is the same word used when Christ comes for his own. And the scriptures say, and we shall all be changed or transfigured, and we shall be clothed in the glory of the Son of God. Paul says, the trials of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now listen, he said, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. He said, they may communicate you, speaking to those who were walking in God's will. They may excommunicate you. They may cast you out from the earthly organization. They may despise you. They may count you as a filth of the street. They may ostracize you from their society. But I will not blot out your name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. Over and again, Christ made this statement. He that confesses me before men, will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. We like for our names to appear on the front page of the daily paper, don't we? Or for them to be spoken over the radio or from the platform. But my friend, though you may live in obscurity here, if you are born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, Christ says, I will confess your name before my Father, before his angels. What an honor. What a distinction. What royalty. I had rather have my name confessed before my Lord, before my Father, than to have all the earthly honors that man could bestow upon me. How about you? He closed the letter with these words. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As someone has said, in a living church, a church that Christ honors, there will be growth, compassion, union, and emotion. In a church that Christ honors, there will be a manifestation of the old-time Holy Spirit conviction, the crying out of lost sinners for salvation. The newborn babe will be born into the kingdom. There will be a compassion on the part of the saved members of that church for Christ, a love for Christ, and a compassion for the lost. Old-time prayer meetings will break out. Folks will gather for hours, if not for whole nights, in prayer. And there will also be unity of the Spirit. There will be no division, no parties, no strife, no schism, no isms. Then there will be emotion. It will be a church of tears, a church of laughter, a church of rejoicing, a church of praising the Lord, a church where Christ is manifested, a common language that church will be talking about, their crucified, buried, and risen Lord. Let me go back there and look where we said there will be a church of tears, and a church of laughter. Did you know that some folks are so straight-laced that they can't even laugh? Now, my friend, I like to laugh. I do. I'm not talking about just joking around and all that foolishness. But, my friend, it's a good-hearted laugh will do you good. Did you know that? You know why I say that? Because I have some old pooched-out lips around here in my congregation. I believe if they laughed, their face would crack. You ever seen folks like that? I asked them. Put on a smile. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your head. Thank the Lord. You saved? Oh, yes, I'm saved. Well, thank the Lord then. I tell my folks here, when you get up in the morning, put your feet on the floor, whether it be carpet, concrete, or dirt, put your feet down there, say, thank you, Lord. Wait there a moment on your side of your bed, whether it be a bunk or whatever it is. Just wait there a minute and say, Lord, thank you, Lord, for saving an old sinner like me. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's rest. Thank you, Lord, for a roof over my head. Do you do that? Oh, you say that's trivial. No, sir. Our Lord loves to hear those things, my friend. I wish I could sit down by your side, as I often say. Drink a cup of coffee, would you? Would you send me a $100 bill, dig it up out there in the backyard somewhere, and send it to me for an offering for the old Trailblazer? I need your help a little bit. Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer. Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.